Welcome to This Week in FX PhD, your weekly wrap-up and behind the scenes at fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD. John Montgomery with you, joined as always by Mike. How's it going, my friend?
Good, good. How's things?
Fantastic. Really loving the term so far, and as you know, hard at work on the next term coming up as well. The never-ending cycle, but having a lot of fun. Also, I think we mentioned it last week, but seems to be, I've gotten some emails or seen some requests and support, but it seems to be a nice response for people interested in the new challenge this term.
Yeah. We mentioned it at the end of last week, and so I'm slightly concerned that people didn't hear that. But yes, if you are interested in the challenge, which is coming back, it's in the background section of your term 14 part of the forum. And we'd really encourage you to download stuff and upload it so we can review it, give you a personal critique. And obviously, if you want to, you can use it on your showreel and do other stuff. So yeah, really, really good. The challenge review is going to be happening at the end of term. So you do have to follow closely the guidelines on when to submit, because we have a hard deadline. Although I don't think we've posted yet. In fact, I'm pretty sure I haven't posted the FTP upload details. And I'm reminding myself of that as we speak. So I will make sure that that gets done. But yeah, in the forums, there's been quite a lot of people reading the thing and hopefully downloading stuff and looking at stuff, yeah.
And there's plenty of time to get it done as well. It's, by the time you hear this podcast, the deadline is probably a week away. So on the 12th of September, wherever it is, you can submit it. And I really think that you should take the opportunity to do so before FXPhD burns down as the fire truck. But no.
Yeah, that's pretty. What's that about?
But yeah, really, I hope everyone takes advantage of this, because I know many of you were actually missing that. I actually have mentioned that in some of the term surveys, so it's good to see some interest in that again, and really sensible, really good idea to take advantage of that.
Yeah, people really enjoy the reviews. If you've obviously not been through it before, you wouldn't know, but you know, we do go through each one, and you learn quite a lot from seeing other people's interpretation. Hopefully you also learn a lot by what we pick up on and how things are done, and being able to accept criticism and take on board feedback and stuff is so inherently a part of working in this industry that it's really important that you sort of you know, do that kind of stuff. So yeah.
And that's one thing about FXPhD, I think that's great, is you do have that potential for feedback in the forums, and I guess even in lieu of the earliest leak, but I'm not specifically, but even next term for one of our courses, we're going to try and have even more kind of integrated review type things and assignments as part of a course, because one of the profs is really very much interested in that. And again, I think the challenges is one example of that. But even if there's not a specific assignment or a call to an assignment or a call to review as part of your course, if there's footage as part of that course and stuff to do, you know, really take advantage, do the work and post in the forums and get feedback from both the prof, frankly, and also some of the members, fellow members that are in the forums, because that's one of the great things about FXPhD.
Yeah. We get to answer a lot of questions in the forum. A lot of people will post even that are not the profs in the forums. And so we encourage that as well. So if you happen to be somebody that, is seeing a question that you think you can answer in the forums, please, you know, jump right in and say that. The more discussion, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And as John says, if you can, partake of stuff and take advantage, that's the big difference between just having some kind of random download thing on YouTube and what we do at PhD. You've got the props there. You've got a live thing going on. People are working through the material at the same rate that you are. So it's a tremendous thing to take advantage of.
And I've mentioned that something that people talked about in the forums or sent in a question, but we'd actually had a call for questions several weeks ago that we actually haven't gotten to. But I thought, Mike, there's one for you that I think would be good to address, but one for me was a couple terms ago, we switched over from using torrents to distribute our material and went to direct downloads. And the question was, why did you do that? Because it was the best thing ever in the torrents. And, well, I would say that for a majority of FXPhD members, it was not the best thing ever. It was kind of an extra step, a needed extra step, unneeded extra step, made it more difficult to explain, frankly, to maintain from our end, to keep reliable. I understand as well that for some of you who are on slower bandwidth connections and things like that, that the direct downloads at times can be a bit less reliable than those. But I believe we worked through a ton of the bugs through that and really basically worked through that with the people contacting support to make that reliable. But I mean, there were even, I think the comment was, did you team up with the MPAA so that you could like do stories on effects guide? I'm like, that's a pretty big leap. As part
Sorry,
of that,
what?
The, well, you know, MPAA, the Motion Picture Associate, right? Torrent is a way to distribute those materials. And I don't know, someone, I think jokingly made the leap that we had conspired with the MPAA to get rid of all our torrent stuff. But no, actually torrent's actually a great distribution method. They're actually, you know, it's a good way to securely move stuff back and forth between members and so forth. But, you know, again, for most of our members, the vast majority of the members find the direct downloads easier. They're faster because you can pick a server in the UK or pick a server in the US. And also, you know, the reason we did it in the beginning was the bandwidth costs were so expensive for direct downloads. But a lot has changed over the years, making storage and bandwidth a lot cheaper to buy from our standpoint on the net, so we can keep the price of FXPHD where it is, but actually have that convenience of direct downloads. And some of you, I'm sure, have noticed as well, who've been members of FXPHD for a while, that you actually have access to pretty much all your downloads since the beginning of time, almost, or at least, I would say, at least for the last 5 years. So we used to cut that off even after a year, but as part of this, we've made downloads continually available for everyone, basically as long as we can possibly do it or as long as there's demand. So that's why we actually made the change to torrents. Another example, one question I think, because Mike, you've done a lot of these get produced in Sydney, was someone asked about some of the stuff that goes in FX Insider on FX Guide, stuff that they feel, well, you know, you're doing this stuff for FX Insider or doing those videos for Wired. Why isn't that going in FXPHD? It seems to be taking away all the stuff from FXPHD, but actually it's the opposite. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about, like, giving an example from the SIDGRAPH trip, like, we've got sound bites, like, they're really short. Like, I know they're really short because we haven't edited them down to, like, 45 seconds or something from a range of interviews that we've done. And those interviews are going to be in much more length inside, say, FXPHD background. So this thing
synergy, I guess,
that we do, yeah, this synergy really, is because if we just say to somebody, hey, I would like to do a interview with you and it's going to go just to the members of PhD, I mean, you know, let's face it, there's a much smaller number of members of PhD than there are in FX Guide. Most people are willing to do stuff for us, but we don't get quite the same access as if we also give them some publicity over at FX Guide. Now, FX Guide gets them a wider audience, it just doesn't get them in depth. And so it works for us to do it that way. The other thing about doing stuff inside FXPHD is I'm not trying to sound overly defensive, but we actually had some criticism of when we put in some interviews just in PhD that they were not educational so much as they were just sort of interviews. And why couldn't I just get that off FX Guide? And there was a second sort of tier of that, a more subtle thing with somebody saying, look, I understand that the interviews are kind of really interesting, but when Mike explains it properly and you kind of just have things to amplify that, I find that I get more out of that than trying to understand what somebody's saying from an interview context. So there are occasions where I've done an interview and then I've not just delivered that interview wall to wall, as somebody said, because that's something that I can listen to on a podcast, in fact, more easily because I just have headphones on than watching. What they want out of our stuff is somebody to illustrate the points, amplify what was, explain the significance, and also call bullshit when it's, you know, we do all these things and actually it's better to do these three things than all those things because those are the three things that kind of work. And we can do that. I mean, it's a bit rude to do that when somebody's, you know, being interviewed. So yes, I understand that you think that your product is marvelous, but in reality it only works half the time, doesn't it?
Right.
It's quite confrontational. Whereas inside PhD, we can be a bit more blunt. So it is an obvious balancing act. And as I said at the outset, it's very much the case that FX Guide gives PhD tremendous access and clout I use the example of the Washington Post. Before it was bought by Amazon's founder, they had a company that basically had a Washington Post, and it was like 10% of the business, but they called the group the Washington Post Group because the other 90% benefited enormously from the clout that the Washington Post brand and access gave. It didn't need to make any money, the Washington Post. It just needed to be the Washington Post, and it's something that people, you know, respected, and that allowed the other 90% of the business that was behind it to work. And I've always thought that to be an interesting model in this kind of modern age. So very much from our point of view, I live and breathe, as John does, for PhD, but we need to get tremendous access to get to people, both facilities and otherwise. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know that PhD members would be served by, so let's take something like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I sat at ILM and did an interview there with Pablo, which was really interesting. I biased the interview fairly much towards their facial pipeline because I think that's the kind of stuff that we're interested in, you know, like an actual technique rather than just, you know, what was it like to work with a bunch of turtles in the half shell. And but you could argue, okay, well, why not put that inside PhD? But the only reason that you would do it is for exclusivity, because this way, if you're a member of PhD, you still get that because it's free. But you'll also get us doing more detailed stuff on facial pipelines. So you kind of get both. I know it sounds like an intellectual exercise in trickery, but if you see my point, there's only so many slots inside PhD. If we fill them up with stuff that could otherwise be free because it's not very educationally bound, then we are effectively sort of forcing out something else. So I think the stuff that's of interest but not, as I say, targeted kind of educational benefit, or in another case is massive. Like in the case of massive software, we did an update on what's happening with massive. That's gone out as part of FX Guide. What's interesting is that massive is being used in animation pipelines. Now, this is something that I hadn't fully appreciated, but what we got to do after we did the interview that was just about what's new in the latest version of massive, which is, let's face it, what tends to go in a press release, we started discussing, as a completely separate thing, deliberately for PhD. I mean, I had this all planned out in advance, the idea of using Massive in an animation environment, because I think that's the kind of insight that you want from PhD, so that if you're in a job and you're pitching something and somebody said something, so actually, I know that there are a bunch of people that are doing interesting stuff in Massive with that, and then someone might say, yeah, I think that's for crowds. Like, well, no, they've actually introduced some new tools that allow non-linear retargeting stuff and things that you want to do in a character animation world that you don't want to do in a traditional crowd sim. And that work is interesting. And so maybe we could solve a bunch of problems with our secondary characters that are not crowds, but also not heroes in the front, and do it through a massive pipeline. And that would give you an edge when bidding or working on that kind of work. And none of that insight is going to go in FX Guide. That insight is for PhD alone. But, you know, quite frankly, the what's happening in Massive update, which they probably told to 50 reporters, or not 50, but you know what I mean, like a dozen reporters at SIDGRAPH, we certainly sat down one-on-one and tried to have an intelligent discussion with them. But that, I think, deserves to be on FX Guide as just sort of a general, you can get an update on what's happening with Massive and keep the insight into PhD. Though, I will say, John, it is completely valid to raise this as a point because it's a balance or a tightrope that I walk constantly, or we walk constantly.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like it's, we don't get it right all the time.
It's a totally fair enough question. And that's why I think, you know, that's why I brought it up, is because, you know, if one person has a question, others do. And it's a sensible thing because it's easy to look at that from the exterior and go, well, they're doing all this stuff for Wire, they're doing stuff from FX Guide. But it really is too. We talk about it a lot, but we haven't, you know, we talk about a lot about the, you know, how one feeds the other, but I think those are really some good concrete examples. I mean, I'll throw another one on as to FX Guide happening is the work that we did with Sam Edwards on Cosmos. You know, we had a really cool FX Guide TV app about the work that he did for the new television series. That was something that was, you know, superficial. It was something that was in 20 minutes, but no question in my mind that led directly to him doing a full-blown course at FXPHD this term. Had we not done that for FX Guide, the course wouldn't have happened at FXPHD, and that goes down the line on a lot of different courses as well at the site. So there really is a case is that one feeds the other. And it's not one gets in the way of the other. They both feed each other, and it's a constant balancing act to know what goes where. But, Mike, I think we do a pretty good job of figuring out what goes where for the most part.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we shouldn't shy away from saying publicly is we need to promote people joining PhD.
Right.
Because if we don't have members, we don't have anything, right? And so it's really important that people get a taste of what PhD is like. Otherwise, they're not going to give us their hard-earned cash. And we understand that it's not insignificant, the fees at PhD. So it's a deliberate strategy of posting stuff that is, we think, of consequence, that has actual, valid, serious content on FX Guide. It's not just... So, for example, let's take the Manuka article. So we published a story on Manuka. Now, we do tons of stuff with Weta. Ergo, we get tons of access to stuff that feeds into our planning on PhD. And having a really close working relationship with Weta is just, it took, years to cultivate, John. And it's a trust thing, right? And it's got to a point that they trust us really, really well. And, we have access to Joe Letarian, people that are, this is no laughing matter. Like, he is incredibly valuable and really hard to get to. And if Joe doesn't like you and thinks you're an idiot, then you're not going to interview Joe. It's just like, I'm sorry, that's just how it works. So we do a story on Manuka. Now, we could have done that just inside FX PhD, of course. But in the case of the Manuka story, we'd like to establish in the community that we understand the issues of rendering and we have cred in this area, so that when we run stories and do stuff inside PhD, like, for example, RenderMan, we had access to the beta of RenderMan way in advance of just anyone else. Now, why is that? It's because this organization has a good reputation in the rendering community as being people that ask intelligent questions and faithfully and accurately report what's going on. Obviously, that's good. But also the other flip side of it is that if you're just looking at us and saying, I want to learn about rendering in V-Ray, and you know that we tend to publish really good stories about rendering, and we know what we're kind of talking about because you don't read them and like go, oh my God, they don't even know what physically based rendering is. Or what a joke. Like, I'm reading this story about Manuka and they just completely missed the point about spectral rendering. They don't even know what they're talking about. Then you're not going to sign up for PhD training. I'd like to think if you did read that story and realize that that we do understand these issues, and let's face it, Manuka is never going to be something you can buy. We're not going to run courses on Manuka because Manuka is a private product for Weta. So it makes sense to have that out on the other side of the paywall in the FX Guide world, building our credibility both with the people that are in the rendering community and those of you that would like to learn about rendering and know that inside PhD, you're probably going to get the same level of intelligent conversation. And if you think about it, the Manuka one for me was a good FX Guide one, because we're never going to do training on Manuka. I mean, if we were, it would be to a employees of Weta, because they're the only people that can use it. It's just not going to be something that they sell. But boy, did it buy us a lot of credibility at SIDGRAPH, with people going, no one else reported on that. And not only that, but it was a really interesting story that raised a bunch of really interesting questions. And I know it seems weird, but because Manuka's Weta, but that buys us credit at, I would say, Chaos, Pixar, Solid Angle, like a bunch of competitors. Not because they're mean or nasty, but they're just like, yep, these guys know what they're talking about and, are sensible. So, yeah, it's a complicated issue. You know what? If we think we got wrong on one, don't hesitate to let us know. If you think that Manuka you've surprised, for example, I don't think you would be, but let's say you were, I'm really surprised that wasn't inside PhD exclusively. Just let us know. I'm always happy to discuss it. And also it informs us as to what you guys think is that right balance to be walking. But I would spend a lot of time in any given week or month deciding what stuff goes inside PhD and what goes inside FX Guide. And the insider stuff, somebody has to help run FX Guide because it's free, right? We don't charge on FX Guide. And so our insider members are basically supporting FX Guide, and the insider program is them supporting us, and in turn, we post exclusive content for them to say thanks. And again, I think that's another really fine line to walk, but yeah. Yeah. We don't make this all about FX Guy, but there you
no,
go.
No, it is. But it's a good point. It's something I just wanted to bring up. And yes, to talking about it, Mike and I were just looking at our Evernote document that created from all the stuff from Seagraph, kind of breaking down what you were saying and what's rolling out over the coming weeks and terms and so forth. So anyway, I just thought it was a point worth discussing in
you bet.
In tangible and in more direct ways. We talk about it a lot in serving both. We've talked about it numerous occasions, but I think there's some good specific examples, Mike, that you gave on how it really works out, because they really do feed off each other. And it's something that I'm sure you can tell from what Mike was saying, we think long and hard about. It's not just something we flip a coin over and go, oh, this is the FX guide. So that's my dog voice, by the way.
But we have a Monday production meeting, and we have this big pad. Isn't it an interesting thing? I learned this a while ago in an advertising agency. If you really want to have a thoughtful, meaningful meeting, take a very large piece of paper, because a small piece of paper confines you. It traps you. A big piece of paper you can spread out. And at that meeting on every Monday morning, we just scrawl out all the things, where they should go and what should be where. And yeah, things move between columns. And but I like to think we get it more right than wrong. But yes, I'm sure we've got it wrong occasionally. I'd probably blotted out what I think is a bad one, but I'm sure I could, if I was on a jury, on a witness stand, I could probably testify to the jury that I could find an example of us getting it really wrong, but I just don't tend to focus on those. I tend to forget those.
No, so yes. So anyway, guys, thanks. Sorry about the delay in getting back on some of those questions. But again, if you have them, drop us a line via email, even post in the forums, let us know, even fill out a support form, and Ryan will forward those to both Mike and I.
I'll tell you one thing. We do the DOD more reliably than any other podcast in the universe of our FX PhD, FX Guide world.
Honestly, the
DOD is more reliable than any other podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy to get caught up. I know the ones we've missed, but the reason I know the ones we've missed is because, frankly, we do miss so few of them. It's a point that I just blew something off personally this evening, because I'm a day off getting back after our U.S. holiday to get the DOD done. So again, we take it pretty seriously, trying to get the word out and making sure everyone keeps informed about what's going on at FXPhD. Anywho, that's a good point. How many have we done?
This week in FX PhDs?
Yeah.
You mean? I don't know because it started out as the DOD, which is a very clever insider joke. I've now changed it to Inside FX PhD. But
for those of you who used to use Shake, yes.
Yes, it was a good joke those days. By the way, the RenderMan 102 course is doing some really interesting stuff talking about rendering. I don't know if you've been paying any attention to it, but if you guys are interested in RenderMan, it's just a phenomenally interesting bunch of stuff. The latest stuff, I posted even on Twitter about it, to do with nested dielectrics, is just great. I just love that stuff. It's just so hard to get good quality information in this area, yet alone training. I'm just really proud of when we sort of knock it out of the park.
Yeah, and especially with stuff that's frankly not available to the public at this point. And I think Chris has done a nice job reacting to things. I mean, it's to get up to speed on it and learn how to use it and teach a course in it is quite a lot of work. And so I really respect what he's done from that standpoint, as well as dealing with, you know, changes and stuff in the software over time. So anyway, it's been fun to have that as part of the course this term. And actually, there's a... just had an interview related to FX Guide today, but talking about this production company being involved with that beta as well. And they were very much looking forward to the new architecture based upon what they did with their last project. So it seems to be getting some nice reviews. By the way, 234 individual podcasts at this point.
234 for these ones?
Yep.
234. I've spoken to you 234 times.
Yes, about absolutely nothing. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
But yes, 234.
So can I give you a heads up on something that's coming? Can I just, because I'm going to now just completely loop back on myself, just a heads up on some stuff that's coming up. We've got a really interesting thing coming up on Traktor. Do you remember that session that we went to, the user group at Pixar?
Yeah.
So the Traktor guys have agreed to give us their keynotes, which include a bunch of really cool videos. which we're going to put out, because I think render farm stuff is sorely never discussed by people like us because it doesn't seem very sexy. And I think the guys running the Tractor team inside Pixar have doing awesome work, and they presented this to the user group, which is a very small group of people, obviously, comparatively speaking. And I thought it was so interesting. And I just love it when somebody who's... like, it's easy to be sexy when you're on the front line of, you know, producing a major Hollywood picture using RenderMan. It's like, you know, anything you do is looks awesome. But to do impressive stuff when you're just doing render farm, well, not maintenance, but scheduling and stuff. Yeah. And it's almost like if they have this, they take this much trouble with just the scheduler, you know, it's kind of a real indication of the depth of the company. Anyway, so yeah, some interesting stuff coming up on that. It's got nothing to do with hardcore rendering. It's got everything to do with just surviving inside a company with a big farm and what it takes to make that work properly.
It's also seemed to put more and more of the things together and more features in that, you know, because again, you know, they brought that out and have continually updated and made it better, which is always great. We should love to see. But yes, it was an interesting part of the user group meeting this year. Very much so. Well, hey, my friend, I must go.
Okay.
But again, thanks for taking the time, everyone, for listening to this. Again, please feel free to drop us a line with any questions, anything you'd like to know about. We're happy to openly discuss, as I think you've seen that over the years, over the 234 podcasts that we've done. And the DOD Lord. That we're comfortable talking and being open and upfront with you guys about what we do right, what we do wrong, or just why we do certain things. So take the time. If you have any questions, drop us a line. But as always, thanks for taking the time to listen and being part of FXPHD. See ya.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FXPHD.